this. Hopefully you'll appreciate what I've prepared and learnt, and you can learn something as well. Cool. So yesterday, Mikey talked about the parable of the sower, and from that we were given four different stories of four different people, and how the different people respond to the word, and also sort of thinking about what a parable is and why Jesus tells those. So now we continue on the story as Jesus tells some more parables, which he invites us to listen in on. Have you ever stopped to think about what the kingdom of heaven is actually like, or what it even is? You may find it hard to do so, as there isn't really much to base your thoughts on. As heaven is a concept that nobody on earth except Jesus has been to, we as humans struggle to grasp what it is. As we learnt yesterday, and in our passage now, verse 35, Jesus says, "I'll open my mouth in parables. I'll utter things hidden since the creation of the world." He uses parables to help explain and give us an understanding of things that are hidden, and in this case is the kingdom of heaven. While we aren't going to be able to fully comprehend the kingdom of heaven right now, we can start to get a glimpse of it. Here in this passage, we're given three illustrations or images of different aspects of what the kingdom of heaven is like. So what is the kingdom of heaven like? Let's start by looking at the parable of the mustard seed, which is sort of in an odd place in between his telling of the first parable and his explanation. There is a reason to this, but we'll get to that later. This parable starts at verse 31, if you want to follow along with me. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree." Have you ever seen a mustard seed before and how small it is? If you ever used seeded mustard, you would know how small the seeds are. If you look at closely at all those black and yellow seeds, they are mustard seeds. They're so tiny that hundreds of them fit into a small jar of mustard. If you were to take one of those mustard seeds and plant it and took care of it, by the next year, you'd actually notice that it was quite large. If you compare them amongst other plants in the garden, you'd notice that it's one of the largest. While it might not actually be the biggest of all the plants, the rate that it grows out and the transformation when it becomes a tree is definitely evident. From a seed that starts so small and turns into a tree that's much bigger, this is why Jesus says it's one of the largest garden plants. He could have chosen many other plants to illustrate this, but because of the context, he decided to choose this one as people would easily recognize what it was. So what is he trying to say with this image? At first, it can be quite difficult sometimes to understand some of these parables and what they mean, but when we take a closer look, it becomes a bit clearer. Jesus is trying to use this as an example to show size comparison. He's trying to show us that the kingdom of heaven will begin as something really small, but then grows to be something huge and has big impact. From this, we can get an idea of the scale of which the heaven will grow to. It's something that grows to be multiple times its original size. And because it will grow to be so big, we can assume that things that happen now will change radically on this massive scale. Jesus is letting us know that the kingdom of heaven is growing and continuing to grow now as we speak. This parable is just a small illustration, but from it we get a better understanding of what is to happen than if Jesus was just to tell us that the kingdom of heaven is growing. He tells us something that we can relate to and already know, and compares it to heavenly things. It makes us stop to think what the parable means, and in the end we get a better understanding. Let's have a look at the next parable, which is the parable of the yeast. See what aspect of the kingdom of heaven Jesus is trying to give us a glimpse of there. This can be found in verse 33. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it into 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough." This is another short parable that helps depict what the kingdom is like. If you ever do any baking, This helps. You need yeast to help make the bread rise. And for it to be effective, the yeast in the dough needs to be completely mixed through. Once you've put the yeast in the dough, it's not going to come out. And if you were to try and do that, it wouldn't really work. You probably need a microscope and some tweezers to do it. And when you tried, you probably would pull out some of the dough at the same time. It's basically impossible. The yeast spreads through the dough and starts to become part of it. It also gives the dough life as it disperses into the dough permanently. The yeast is the key ingredient that allows the dough to rise, creating air pockets and makes the bread nice and fluffy to eat. A loaf of bread without yeast would be something that's quite dense and very heavy. From this picture, Jesus tells us and gives us an idea what the kingdom of heaven is going to have these two characters. It will be something that's permanent and something that spreads and grows. This is what Jesus is describing the kingdom to be like. It will grow to become more mature, spreading throughout the whole world, affecting everyone. Unlike the previous parable that we looked at, Jesus is here, that was talking about the kingdom expanding. Here is more of an inward growth. Jesus is focusing on a growth that is meaningful, rather than a size growth for the sake of being big. You may have heard the saying, quality, not quantity. Well, in this case, the kingdom of heaven is going to be both of those. Doesn't that sound like a really awesome kingdom to be part of? From what Jesus has said so far, I think we can get a bit of an understanding into what the kingdom does and what will happen to it. The kingdom of heaven is going to start small, but then develops and grows and matures until it's really huge and has big impact that affects everyone. Let's have a look at the main parable now. See what Jesus has to say there. When I think of a kingdom, and the first thing that comes to mind is a secure place consisting of a group of people. So far, Jesus hasn't really discussed who will be in the kingdom of heaven. Here at the main parable of this passage, which starts at verse 24, the parable of the weeds, Jesus explains further who will be in this kingdom. This parable is a short story about a man sowing seeds. Follow along with me at the start of this passage, verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came out and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. So we have a man who sows seeds into his field, but then his enemy comes out to cause a bit of trouble by sowing weeds in his field, attempting to corrupt them. Luckily in this parable, Jesus actually gives an explanation when his disciples ask him to. From what he says at the end of the passage, which starts at verse 37, we know there are two opposing sides. That being the Son of Man and his people in the kingdom of heaven who are the good seeds, and the evil one who are the weeds. So the kingdom of heaven isn't just going to be something by itself that's strong and powerful, but it also there's a conflict going on between the kingdom and the devil who is aiming to attack it. Reading further, the servants ask what to do about the situation of the weeds and whether they should pull them up. This is the owner's response in verse 29. No, because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow until the harvest. Now first, I was quite interested in why they would say this. Why would they uproot some of the wheat at the same time? Well, recently I moved into a new house, but before we could sell it, we had to get the old place looking nice. And while I was doing that, I was doing some gardening in the backyard, pulling out some weeds. I found that sometimes I pull out a weed and then wonder, did I just pull out a plant or was it actually a weed? Many times I would second guess myself what I was actually pulling out was the right thing. If you do much gardening, you would have experienced this dilemma as well. When plants are still in the process of growing, their fruit or flowers take a while before they come out and display themselves. Because of this, they can sometimes look very similar to a weed. I did a bit more research And in this case, it turns out the weeds being talked about here are actually something called darnel. So when I looked up an image of what darnel is and put it side by side to wheat, I couldn't really tell the difference between the two, because they both basically looked the same. The only difference is when it's time to harvest. The wheat turns yellow, standing out to the green darnel. This is why the owner says, let both grow together. It's only when the wheat is fully grown that we can tell the difference of the wheat and what's not. At the harvest, or the end of the age, when the wheat is fully grown, Jesus explains what will happen in verse 41. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will be thrown into the blazing furnace, where there will be gnashing, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. This is a fairly graphic image, but is good news for those in the kingdom of heaven. There's two things that will happen. Those who do evil and are of the devil will be completely destroyed, being burned up in a place that's full of anger, sadness, and constant frustration. But everyone who remains, they are the people of Jesus who are righteous and will be with their kingdom, their Father in his kingdom. Jesus is trying to show the reality of this world and what will happen at the end of it. There are people like the weeds who do evil, which ends in destruction, and people who are like the wheat who are collected up into God's barn, reunited with him forever. So how can you know which one you are? It's certainly worth thinking about, because as described, there are big consequences. You are in God's kingdom if you're following Jesus, who is the Son of Man, and living for him. But there are also people in this world who are among the enemy, whether they realize that or not. If we want to stay strong in the kingdom of heaven, we need to be aware of who the enemy is. Particularly in today's society, where there are many influences that we come across that can affect the way we think. What we hear on the news, or on the radio, on social media, or even the people and friends around us that we know, everyone has their own opinions telling us what's morally right and what's wrong. To work this out for ourselves, we need to know who Jesus is and be seeking the everlasting truths that he teaches in his Bible. If we keep striving day by day, growing to be more like Christ and following his example, it becomes easier to identify who the enemy is. By doing this, we won't be swayed by the enemy, and who's also recruiting his own army. As we discovered earlier, both the weeds and the wheat can look very similar, so it can be difficult to tell sometimes. There may be people you know in your church or even in this room amongst the weeds as well. You may want to take a moment to think, are you amongst the weeds? So you know you're in the kingdom, and you're trying to live God's way, but what do we do while we wait till the end of the age? Well, I think Jesus has something to say about that here as well. If you remember back to the first two parables, we learned that the kingdom of heaven is going to be something that starts small, but then develops and grows and matures, and spreading through the whole world until it has big impact affecting everyone. They're definitely connected, and they let us know what the kingdom of heaven is like now, what it's doing, and how it affects us. While we're living on this earth, we are to be growing and becoming more mature in Christ, just like the wheat waits for the harvest. We should be telling others about who Jesus is, why he died and was resurrected, so that we can have a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. And doing this grows the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that what we're called to do as Christians? As the Great Commission says, we are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything he has commanded us. We need to be striving to be more like Christ and inviting others into the kingdom as we wait for Jesus to return. It's actually something we can be part of now. The kingdom of heaven started growing back at the beginning of time and is still growing today. It's actually part of our mission here at Uni Fellowship. We create a place for people to grow in the faith and become ambassadors for Christ during and after they go, after they leave uni, and to share that with others to grow the kingdom of heaven. Some ways in which we do this is through meeting regularly around God's word and learning from each other in fellowship groups or in Bible groups if you're in Launceston. This helps us to grow in spiritual maturity, and I think Christian fellowship is a very valuable thing in order to pursue holiness in this life. But we also have a mission to proclaim Christ to the rest of the university, which we might do through Christian 1A or Bible on the Bar, but also, probably more importantly, talking to our classmates. We need to go out into the world, tell others about who God is, and not just keep it to ourselves. If this is your first year at uni, or you haven't been involved in any of these activities before, I'd really encourage you to do so if you're able. University is such a unique and valuable time that we can be, as students still, we can be involved in learning and serving our Heavenly Father. I hope you now have a better understanding of what the Kingdom of Heaven is and what it looks like. Can you see how we're a part of this and what it means for us? We're in a world amongst people of God and people of evil. As we wait till the end of the age, we need to stay strong, continue to grow to be more like Christ, not being affected by the weeds, which is sin. If we do this, being part of the Kingdom of Heaven, when the harvest comes, we'll be returned to the Father and sin will be completely destroyed. I hope you'll join me as this year, with God's help, we seek to grow the kingdom in heaven. Thanks for that. I think